I would say that's putting me on the spot. So I hope you're not too disappointed when we get done. But there's something to anticipate, you can look forward to, and that's lunch afterwards. So, again, I there are several times I've questioned why they asked me to do this, and but you know, maybe there'll be some things that I can offer. When we started out, I'll just briefly make mention of when we started out the discussions, and when they asked the five of us to meet with them, they asked for topics and for all of us to brainstorm topics. And so we did that, and we brainstormed several topics. And a couple of topics that I shared, by the way, we all understood that every topic you brought up, you're going to speak about that, but we just didn't know it at the time. But one of those was John chapter 10, and we'll get there here shortly in a minute. We'll talk about John chapter 10 and the Good Shepherd. And the second thing that I shared was, you know, I think there are some things, about 5 years ago, we went through the process where we were at of appointing elders, and we spent, the shepherds spent several Sunday afternoons talking about, obviously, the qualifications, but then we talked about other things that are outside the qualifications, some practical aspects that we needed to think about as we were sharing that, our own experiences with other men. And so we'll share a couple of those as well, specifically about availability and approachability and the effect on the family. So I'm going to say a few things about those, and if you want to ask questions later, you can certainly feel free to do that. I mentioned in that one, this would be a good classroom type discussion, you know, in regards to that. So I didn't get that option, so we'd do that. Except roll all that together. So that's what we're going to do. I think I know about 50% of you all, and some of you I know really well, and some of you maybe not quite as well, and then some of you I don't know. So for those I don't know, I'm going to share what we've been asked to do in regards to a little bit about ourselves. Myself and Nancy, my wife, we live in Columbus, Indiana. We moved there about 30 years ago, and with a job change at that particular time. The congregation is roughly 200 people, approximately. We've always been blessed. Almost every year, we've had 80 children up from 0 to 12, and we just keep producing those children, and we're blessed richly. We have a good mix of people of all ages, and that's a blessing in itself, that the congregation, that we see new growth, and we see growth from outside as well. You know, each year, a lot of people come and go from the town of Columbus, and so we're blessed richly there. One of the questions, how long has you served as an elder? And I was asked that last night, and somebody else asked in sometime in the last week or two. I don't know exactly, but about half of that time that we've been there, about 15 years approximately. We have 6 shepherds. That number has been a little higher and been lower than higher, and then has decreased a little bit, and may do that again here shortly. But then we're also looking again. We're trying to do about every 5 years to look within the congregation and say, are there men who are qualified who and want to serve in that role and to go through that process? And as you know, sometimes that process isn't easy, and that's a little, scary sometimes to go into that process, because there can be difficulties you go through. And so, again, prayerful, thoughtful meditation is doing things like this weekend are very, very helpful in regards to that. I mentioned my wife, Nancy. We've been married 42 years this past year. She says we married young. That's probably true. But I was ready to have a different life than what I had grown up in. That was for sure. We've been blessed with 4 children that were born to us, and we have adopted 4 more, their spouses, into our family. We're richly blessed there. And we've been blessed with 11 grandchildren that are from ages 10 down to 0, so about 4 months. And we were able to be with all of them every 2 years. We do a family vacation. We were with them last week. So we're coming off that kind of a little high from a family thing. I want to talk to you just a little bit. I guess I'm supposed to say where I work. I guess Paul and I have some commonality, we found out. But I work for Toyota Material Handling, used to be Toyota Industrial Equipment, down in Columbus. And I've been there. The reason we moved to Columbus 30 years ago was to take a position there. Lord willing, within the next year, I'll retire from that and have more time to use and serve. And that was a question Phil asked about, because I may be the only one that's trying to work in a secular job, which is fairly time-consuming, and also spend all the time that I can in serving as a shepherd as well. And I want to tell you just a quick story. This applies for maybe even some of the younger folks as well. The first time I ever gave any serious thought in regards to shepherding was the night that I was baptized, because somebody had the insight to say to me, the guy that baptized me, said, after I told him, I can't stand in front of people and talk. I can't preach like you preach, and so forth. And he said, well, the Lord's church needs good shepherds, needs good elders. So it planted a seed for me to work towards that. And we were a small group. We didn't have elders. But when that opportunity came about for us to move to Columbus, we sought out a church that had what appeared to be, in the best of our knowledge, good elders that we could go and we could learn, and we could work with, and we could learn from. So I encourage some of you who may not say, this doesn't apply to me. It really does. It applies. Everything that you've heard today definitely applies to you. And so do keep that in mind. So enough about my family and so forth on that. So let's look at John chapter 10. Open your Bibles up there if you would. Before we get to John chapter 10, we need to understand the context. I'm going to talk about three things in John chapter 10. And I think they're simple principles that are there. We certainly know this. We're talking about the Good Shepherd. We know we're talking about Jesus. But his example of what he does and what he teaches in this chapter is certainly a lesson for us in shepherding and a lesson for us as sheep, both together. The three points that I'm going to make are that we need to know the sheep need to know us, and there's going to be some sacrifice in shepherding. There's going to be things that we have to give up and we are willing to give up and to serve. And again, it's been mentioned several times, shepherding is serving. And that's obviously the leader-servant concept, the idea that Jesus led, certainly we see that. In the Old Testament, we start back, we could look back, but we see initially God himself was called as out as a shepherd in Psalm 23, Psalm 80, Isaiah 40, Ezekiel 34, we see that description or that title used for him. We certainly see it used for the leaders of Israel in a number of places. We've talked about Ezekiel 34 several times and their disrespect for the job and the role that they'd been given. And yet we see that, again, God continued to try to set them on the right path. But they failed many times. But God promised in Ezekiel 34 that there would be a true shepherd in the Messiah, and that he would care for his sheep. And in Ezekiel 34, 23, he says, then I set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them, and he will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And that idea of obviously from Ezekiel's time period, looking forward to a messianic shepherd. And that brings us to the context of John chapter 10, the parable of the good shepherd. We know that Jesus is specifically, he's being addressed here and identified, but yet the principles still apply to our New Testament shepherds today. Chapter 9 with me, because we have to set the context in here. I think that's what Jesus' purpose and point is in placing this and teaching this story. Read with me just a little bit of chapter 9. In chapter 9 and verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so we start out just the setting of a blind man that's there. In verse 6, and when he had said this, he spat on the ground and he made clay and of the spittle and applied it, the clay to his eyes, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sin. So he went away and he washed and he came back seeing. Well, we know that that creates a bunch of controversy, doesn't it, in that story? The opposition from the Pharisees and over this man and what's happened and the fact that it's been done on the Sabbath. We see some things that come out. Maybe we see a little bit of that Ezekiel 34, that bad shepherding from the Pharisees who were their known spiritual leaders of that time and were supposed to be shepherding the flock. Let's read a few more verses, verse 13 of that chapter. And they brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on that day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath, obviously in reference to Jesus. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. And they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him, since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe it of him, and he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned him, saying, is your son, who you say was born blind, is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he see? And the parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone confessed him, Jesus, to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. And for this reason, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So when we look at this, the setting of what Jesus is about to teach, we see that there was a lot of controversy here again between the religious leaders at this time. They didn't know this man. They didn't know him well. They didn't trust him. They weren't willing to listen to him, the things that he was saying. They ridiculed him, and then they went and ridiculed his parents in a way, again, trying to contradict what had happened to the man. They used fear and intimidation. They showed no compassion whatsoever. There was no rejoicing over the greatness of what had happened. This man who had always been blind was now able to see. But they couldn't see that themselves. And again, we see references of them being blinded themselves. Those who see were blind, and the blind was now able to see, you know, in this chapter. There was only threats of disfellowshipping him and his family and casting him out. So that's what we see that precedes chapter 10. And I think it's interesting because what we see, Jesus, in his own way, is condemning the attitudes and the characteristics of those religious leaders and then trying to show what religious leaders need to be like. So with that, let's read the first 15 verses of chapter 10, if you'd read with me. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know this voice of the strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he has been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We could go on and read that, but I want to jump in into this. The first point, again, that I mentioned earlier, that he knows his sheep. It was mentioned in verse 3. Yeah, he called his own by name and leads them out of the sheepfold. In verse 14, Jesus said, I know my own, and they know me. This passage and others that we've studied so far talk about an intimate relationship with the shepherd. And it's contrasted with what we saw in chapter 9 about the religious leaders there. It also is in contrast to what we saw in verse 5 with the stranger, and then also the hired hand, which are not going to extend that sacrifice. They're not going to care for those sheep like a true shepherd is going to do. So how do shepherds imitate Jesus and get to know their flock? I'm going to spend just a little bit of time talking about that. They cannot serve effectively if they do not know their sheep. Again, there has to be a personable, genuine relationship there. There's some practical ways that we can think about that. Shepherds are those desiring, and this is not limited to shepherds. We should all be striving to be like this, as we talked about in some of the lessons, including Gary's lesson shortly before this. Being friendly and speaking to one another, communicating with one another, which may require us to arrive early or to stay late. I noticed last night a lot of people stayed late, but that says something about the health of the congregation, the spiritual health and the emotional health of a congregation. Are we running out the door? Are we staying? Are we here early to meet the visitors and to check on other people as well? Getting to know, obviously, one of the qualifications is teaching. But getting to know people through the opportunity to be in classes and to teach them, not only adults, but the children as well. There's great opportunity for us to do that, for all of us to do that. Having Bible studies in our home or going to others' homes that we see that need that and having studies in their homes with them, with other members, or maybe, again, other visitors. A good thing to do, knowing our sheep, certainly would require us to know their names, and not only the names of the older members, but also their children, and taking an interest in their children. Certainly that's something that we need to do. Do we watch out for the visitors that are coming in or our guests? Again, quickly trying to develop and build relationships with them. Again, some of that can be done by, again, the amount of time that you're here, you know, at the assembly in the building. Knowing where people live, paying them visits. Many, many need have various needs, but we won't know that till we get to know them better. So taking advantage of that, just being involved in their lives throughout. Asking questions of people, asking questions how they're doing, you know, what are their difficulties, what are their joys in life, and being able to share some of that load, especially with the burdens with them. Obviously, hospitality, we haven't talked a whole lot about it, but hospitality is a big part of the getting to know and them know. The shepherd getting to know the sheep and the sheep getting to know the shepherd. And it works two ways. It works both ways. The real definition of that is, again, entertaining strangers. But if we don't really know them, they're a stranger to us, even though we might be sitting beside them. So how well do we really know our brothers and sisters and our visitors? Again, I can remember some really successful stories of people who who met visitors when they first came in, and they were welcomed in, or they were taken out to lunch, just to build that relationship with them. And because it shows an interest, a genuine interest in those people. And that's what God expects us to do. I think we see example after example of Jesus doing that, those he wasn't familiar with, but developing those relationships again with those strangers. I think back as we were thinking about this, and Nancy and I have had some conversation. I think back when we moved in, it's been a long time since we moved to a new congregation, but 30 years ago when we moved into the congregation, we had people that sought us out. And initially, I was there without my wife and family, which was not particularly easy for a few months. But there were two people that stood out that I'll never forget, who made it a point to check on me every time I was there, which was typically Wednesday nights, and I would go back home on the weekends. And they constantly followed up with me. That made a difference. So I developed a relationship with them. One of those died shortly after. The other's alive and one of my closest friends. But think about how we can develop that kind of a relationship, showing an interest, caring for other people. I think of one of the elders that was there. Part of the reason we chose the congregation we did was because of the elders, that they had a good reputation for being active, being evangelistic and teaching, and that proved true. One of those men, when we got there, helped give me advice for, well, I was already working there, for a real estate agent, for helping with homes. And when we bought a home that needed a whole lot of work, he said, here's some people that I would suggest for you to try. But reaching out, they were in our lives from the very first time that they saw me and met me. I think those are really important things when we talk about how can shepherds knowing the sheep, getting to know people. So good shepherds, they know their sheep. They know when they're missing. They know when they're hurting. They go to seek out, like we see in Luke 15, when one's lost or one's missing. We see that parable that's being taught. Jesus fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He gave comfort. He showed compassion to those who were hurting. And this is a character trait that we should see. We may not be able to heal the sick, but we can do all those other things. We can be there with them and help carry that burden with them. And that includes spiritually as well as physically, obviously, too, on that. Many are distressed and need that help, and we need to be mindful of that. A shepherd cannot serve well if he doesn't know his sheep. And I think that's an important thing. So it's not a matter, when you look at putting men in to serve and be a part of your shepherds, they need to know the flock and not get to know the flock afterwards. They need to know the flock beforehand, before they're put into that role. And I think we've had a couple of others talk about some things similar to that. Secondly, the sheep knowing the shepherd. It's very similar, but we see in verse 4, the sheep followed because they knew his voice. In verse 14, my own know me. And this is an idea, I think, the concept of trust. And that's been brought up a couple of times last night and today as well as far as trusting. We do not follow those we do not trust. Is that a fair statement? We don't follow those that we don't trust. And we don't trust those we don't know. I'm skeptical until I get to know someone, whether it's in work or whether it's from a spiritual aspect or whatever. So we don't trust those we don't know. We do not follow those we feel have not proven themselves trustworthy. So make sure, again, as you evaluate and you look at men, these are men that I know, that I trust, and they're trustworthy. They've proven themselves. And I think qualifications talk about that, not being a novice. But I think here specifically in this idea, knowing the shepherds. So as you think about, as Gary talked about, as far as the congregation being involved in this process, make sure you know the men that you're placing in those roles. In verse 5, in reference, we see in contrast to that, we saw the stranger again, and then we saw the one who was a hired servant. But in both of those situations, that's not what you want shepherding the flock. here or in any other congregation. Certainly, this is a two-sided coin in regards to the sheep knowing the shepherd. It comes from both sides. From the sheep's perspective, what are some things that I can do? I can spend time with the shepherds. You have the ability to ask them to be in your home, to spend time with them. You following up with them. Don't assume that they may be busy. In fact, most often I find the people that in my secular work, but as well in the Lord's work, the people when I need something done, I ask the people that are busiest and they get it done. So make sure you're one of those people that's ready and willing and actively working there as well. Do you attend all the services? Are you there for every activity, for the Bible studies, for the singings, for other special activities just like this, but trying to be there for any special things that the elders have laid forth? But be there and be a part of that. Be actively involved. Do I take an active role in making suggestions to the shepherds? I can assure you that as a shepherd and serving in that way, I appreciate the suggestions and the comments and things that are brought to me that are done in a proper way, in a right perspective. I very much appreciate those people who are willing to do that, and I'm sure your shepherds do as well. But make sure that you're willing to help them. Again, as Gary talked about, the shepherds don't make the church. Each a collaborative group of all of the members here make this church. Am I willing to get myself and my family thoroughly immersed in the work of the church? There's always work to do. And you might even have ideas and suggestions of work that could be done that you think that you're willing to lead. Take that to the shepherds and ask for their advice and if they're willing for you to do that. Share your thoughts. Ask questions. There are times you may not understand decisions and why things were done. Ask. Don't go talk to somebody else or in some way undermine decisions of what your shepherds have made. You place them in that position because you trusted them, or the majority of you trusted them. So when you don't understand something, make sure that you go and you ask. From an elder's perspective on, the sheep knowing the shepherd, I think there's the responsibility of keeping the congregation informed of changes, of things that are happening. Ask for input from the congregation. One of the things that we've done in our discussions, one of the things that we've done at Lakeview that I think has been helpful, the intent was for us to get to know one another much better. We made a choice. We actually were planning to do it at the beginning of 2020 when COVID hit. But that was, we were going to omit every second Sunday night of the month. We were going to omit our evening service. And we broke the congregation at that time into 8 groups. And we were each of the shepherds was going to take one group. They had a group of people assigned to them, and they were going to spend time with them in our homes, sometimes in the community, doing things. Sometimes we went to a nursing home and had a service there out of that group. And we call that our small groups. Really difficult thing to remember, but we call them small groups. And so we still do that today. There's some successes and failures in that. But our intent was we could bring people in that we didn't know well, and we could get to know them better, and they could know us better. So all the shepherds have them in their homes. Not every time, but we make a point to do that. And lots of our members volunteer and host to do that. In fact, I'm going to leave a little early tomorrow afternoon after our discussion time, because we're doing that, and I feel obligated to be there with that group. But somebody else is willing to host that. I needed somebody to step up and host that, and they were willing to do that. So we talk about that that relationship, inner cooperation there and work together. And I feel like from my perspective, I've gotten to know a lot of people a lot better than just meeting them at the building. Some that I may not have had opportunity to spend time with and to really know what their struggles are. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about one of the things we'll do, singing, and we'll do we'll pray together. Have a devotion, but we'll usually do something else. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about what's our favorite Bible character and why. And we learn things about people when we do that, as we get to know one another. I think last month we talked about, you know, what's something you're thankful for that's happened for you this year. But that's how we get to know people better, just doing some small things like that. That's not a perfect, again, there are difficulties in that. We don't get everybody to attend that, but we also include our visitors, people that are coming with some regularity, spouses of faithful members, but that are not members. It's been tremendous to get some of those spouses involved and an opportunity for us to build some relationships. So the sheep can do those things like that. It doesn't have to be something formally that the eldership sets up. But think about that responsibility from a perspective of you know, what you can do individually as well. I'm going to jump ahead to one of the things that I think that's relevant to both of these first two points, and this is one of the practical applications, and that's approachability. A shepherd needs to be approachable. A shepherd needs to... It's a good question for you to ask yourself. Do you see yourself as approachable? Am I easy to communicate with? Am I seen as genuine to other people? This approachability will help us in regards to the relationships of the sheep, of the shepherds knowing the sheep and the sheep knowing the shepherds. What about my wife? Is she approachable? Is she someone others can communicate with? How do others view her as well as myself in that? Can people trust you? Have you worked to try to build, again, that relationship where you're trustworthy in their eyes and their sight? Will you keep things confident when people talk to you in difficult situations? Will they come to you because of issues with other relationships, maybe within the congregation? Are you prepared to deal with marital difficulties? Are you prepared when you're thinking about serving this specific idea of being approachable? Are you ready and willing to be able to give financial advice? And maybe even potentially have to help yourself individually rather than just, not that you couldn't use the Lord's work financially to help some that were members on that. But are you willing to do things like that yourself? Are you willing to give advice for raising children? Parenting advice. What about sexual sins? Are you prepared to be able to counsel and give advice and share? You may not always have all the answers, but you may have to go and work, and sometimes it's just a matter of listening. So those are some things that I think are really important, being approachable from those men who are being considered for shepherds as you look as far as who this congregation is and who you want this congregation to be. So the last point, and then I've got a couple of application things I'm going to talk about for men, is sacrifice. In this passage, in John 10, three times it mentions that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I think that's pretty clear. That's an extreme sacrifice that we understand. But there's some sacrifice that has to go along with our serving in that capacity. Shepherds lay down their lives for their sheep in many different ways. Should make you think of David, the idea of the shepherding. He was called out of shepherding, and from one shepherding of animals to the shepherding of his for God's people flock. And you think of what he was willing to do and risk his life to save a lamb from the jaws of a lion or a bear. Certainly, I think about that when I think of shepherding, of him risking his life. Jesus certainly did that in this text that we looked at in John chapter 9, and we know ultimately what's happened. But his many controversies that he endured with the Pharisees and scribes and other religious leaders, again, were at some personal sacrifice, and ultimately his life. Teaching and holding to the truth may not be popular at all times, and that's difficult, but we have to prepare ourselves for dealing with those circumstances. Sometimes that's outside the church, the body, and sometimes it's inside the body as well. Regarding matters of judgment, again, this was mentioned, and I appreciate it being mentioned. My son-in-law really made me think about this more and more. Again, most of the things, the decisions that the shepherds make are matters of judgment. And there was a lot of negative controversy as we went through about 5 years ago, as we went through the COVID. That was probably a really strong test for the Lord's people. And unfortunately, many congregations didn't survive that very well. There was so much animosity and bickering and social media things that made it really difficult, because sometimes we just didn't stop and follow the direction of our shepherds that they had laid down. And they didn't make all the right decisions. None of them did, I'm sure of that. We certainly didn't. But yet, again, we're obligated to follow that pattern, to follow the direction that they've made. They're going to do the very best that they can. So don't be criticizing them, yet also recognize, as serving in that role, you're going to be open for criticism. You're going to receive more. So you got to make sure that you're able to take that, that you're willing to do that in a loving way, sometimes having those difficult conversations, but not be afraid to have those as well. So I'm going to hit a couple of practical things in regards to the sacrifices. Time's one of the most obvious, I think, in that. Are you willing to sacrifice your time for others? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Are you willing to sacrifice your time? Are you willing to take the extra time for whatever established time the eldership here decides, whether that's weekly or biweekly or monthly or whatever the case may be? There's going to be time that you might preference doing some other things, but you're going to have to sacrifice some of those things. There's those impromptu meetings that happen when things pop up that you didn't expect, and you were planning to take your family to lunch right after services ended, and it just doesn't always work out that way. They may have to go without you. There may be other things that there's individual needs. We mentioned the counseling, the visitation, the spiritual week, but there's time for other planning and preparation individually for events and for teaching and for the hospitality that we talked about. And by the way, I think I said that, but that hospitality goes both ways. Sheep need to be actively being hospitable with their shepherds, but with the others in the congregation as well, and certainly the shepherds as well. Another area I mentioned briefly, just but financially, being able to help, what position that you're in from as a provider for your family, because this is going to take more time, potentially. It may take away time that you needed devoted to your job that you're having to provide for your family. So think about those things when you consider. God needs good shepherds, but we need to think about all of those different types of things as well. There's one other, and I'm going to grab it when I figure out what I did with it. So that kind of leads into the last thing that I'm going to make mention of, is the effect on the family. Seriously, we need to consider where our family's at from several aspects. When we think about that, we talk about additional, sometimes stress, and we certainly need to trust the Lord in that and be prayerful. But is your marriage strong enough to be able to carry some of those burdens at times? Something we need to think about. Does your wife agree with that potential role? If she's not in agreement for you to serve at this particular time, then you need to seriously think about waiting to a point in a time, maybe when there's another time of life that will happen, and work towards that. How do others view, you know, your wife in regards to that? It may take more time for her to be ready. Are your children in a good place spiritually? I think there's a big difference in regards to, at times, for when someone asks when someone should serve, at what age, as far as where they're at in their child-rearing days and so forth. A congregation that's blessed like we are, that have men that are, their families are raised, it makes good sense, I think, for younger men to maybe wait for a longer period of time. But there may be a need for men, in order for the church to be organized as God's intended, for at a younger point in time in some situations. But I think you always have to consider, where are your children? What place are they in? Is this something, this burden that you're going to carry? How is it going to affect them as well? Shepherds are likely going to miss family events. Maybe if the kids are young, you need to take that into consideration, that they won't always be able to be a part of some of the personal things. It's going to be less personal time available for you as an individual. And if you have certain hobbies or sports or things like that, it's definitely going to impact those things. It's going to lessen, may lessen your time for personal study. You obviously never want to put that aside, but it may have some effect on that. One of the things that I think probably affects me the most is sometimes it affects the amount of sleep that I get, the rest. And so if there was someone that has to have 10 hours of sleep a day, you need to consider that, you know, something as well in regards to that. So I'm going to leave you with one thought. Those are some practical applications, again, of those three things. The shepherds need to know the sheep. The sheep need to know the shepherd. And there will be some sacrifices involved in that. But how can you, the question that I would ask for you just to end on, how can you have the most positive influence in the lives of others? If you can do those and you can serve and you want to serve and you desire to serve and you have the ability to do that, then you should serve in the Lord's. You should serve in that capacity if you can, because that may be the way that you can have the most positive effect on other people. Some people are not very personable. We talked about the approachability. If that's not what you were cut out to be, then find other ways that you can serve as well. But just think about that. How can you serve the most effective, have the most positive influence on others? And I'll leave that thought with you. So, thank you.
Thank you, Dixon. That was excellent. I don't know about you all, but my head's just swimming. Just input. I don't have room in there. It's running out my ears. But it's all so good, and thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for your labor before us this morning. What a blessing it's been. What a blessing it's been to be here. So, it's lunch. It's time for lunch. Let's take a couple-hour break and come back, and we'll have another lesson this afternoon starting at 2 p.m., so be back here by then, and Sid will lead us in that. Shepherds Protect the Flock will be the title of it. So enjoy your lunch, and we're also thankful you're here. We're dismissed.